Married at First Sight. Chapter 4165. Catherine said, "Sister, they are my real father and brothers. They might lash out at me with words, but they haven't actually done anything. It's okay, I have bodyguards with me." Her words made Erica realize that, despite everything, Catherine still had to return to that house. Sighing, Erica said, "Just be careful. If anything happens, call the police immediately." "Catherine, we didn't treat you well before, but now I see your family for who they really are. You've also changed, and you've helped me a lot. You're the real aunt of my children, and I want you to be okay too." Catherine knew that Erica genuinely cared about her now. Ever since Catherine exposed her three brothers for having mistresses, she had sided with their wives. That decision had shifted the sisters-in-law's perspective on her. Especially Erica. During the divorces, Catherine had always supported the sisters-in-law, standing firmly by their side. She had helped Erica through a lot. Now, Erica was no longer her sister-in-law in name, but in Catherine's heart, she still was. Catherine said, "Sister, I'll live well. Just make sure the children focus on their studies. If they don't have the ability, they won't be able to hold on to the inheritance their grandmother left them." Erica sighed. So much has happened in this family. What was once a good home is now broken. But at least the kids have become more mature. They're working hard in school now. Catherine felt relieved. "That's good to hear. Sister, it's late. You should get some rest. I'm on my way home. When you get there, send me a message. Don't worry about me." "Okay." Erica ended the call. Catherine gazed out the car window. Most of the shops were closed. There were few pedestrians. Even traffic had thinned out. She didn't return to the Farrell family mansion that night. Liberty had moved in. Even if Liberty hadn't asked her to leave, Catherine wouldn't have wanted to stay there. She had lived in that house for 3 years, yet it had never felt like home. Maybe it never was. Before moving back to the Farrells, she had already purchased a large apartment near her company. And after she returned, her mother, trying to make up for the past, had bought her several properties. There were villas with gardens, spacious apartments, and entire buildings with commercial shops. Most of the buildings had been second-hand purchases, which her mother had rented out, bringing in a steady flow of income. Catherine soon realized that her mother had an obsession with buying real estate. Since she couldn't possibly live in all the properties she owned, she rented them out, collecting rent like a true landlord. Maybe that had been her mother's dream all along. Clarissa had started buying land and constructing buildings when she was young. Some properties were turned into company offices, while others became commercial spaces. Some were later demolished or seized by the government, causing financial losses. After her passing, Catherine inherited 90% of her mother's wealth, as stated in the will. Only when she went through the assets did she realize just how rich her mother had been. Much richer than she had imagined. The monthly rental income alone was staggering. No wonder her brothers were furious when they found out their mother had changed her will, leaving most of her fortune to Catherine. They had even thought about eliminating her. She was unmarried and had no children. If she were gone, her assets would naturally go to her father and three brothers. That was their plan. Kill her, take everything, and even if they were forced out of the Farrell family, they could still live in luxury. As long as they didn't recklessly throw money into failing businesses, they could live comfortably for three lifetimes. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4166. Chapter 4166. "Miss, there's a truck following us." The bodyguard in the passenger seat turned to Catherine, his voice steady but alert. Catherine's expression remained unchanged. "Speed up and let them catch up. The road ahead has a lot of sharp turns. If they're going too fast, that truck will be at risk of flipping over." The ones chasing her had to be her two adopted brothers. How much money had Marco given them to make them reckless enough to pull a stunt like this? Were they really willing to risk everything to cause a crash? The driver immediately followed Catherine's instructions. The truck behind them hit the gas as well. Before long, they reached a stretch of road filled with twists, turns, and steep descents. Taking a curve at high speed here was a disaster waiting to happen. The truck driver wasn't suicidal. As soon as he spotted the bend ahead, his survival instincts kicked in, and he eased off the accelerator. By the time he made the turn, Catherine's car had already disappeared from sight. Frustrated, he slammed the brakes, pulled over, and grabbed his phone. He wasn't actually Shiloh's biological brother, just a hired hand working for them. Dialing quickly, he called Shiloh's eldest brother. As soon as the line connected, he said, "Brother, we lost her. Her car is small and fast. There were too many bends. I couldn't risk speeding up. If I did, the truck might have flipped. She's gone now. You guys up ahead need to be careful." Shiloh's brother, along with the second and third sons of the Janzen family, was already waiting further down the road with their men. "She won't get away," Shiloh's brother replied coldly. "This is the only road she can take to get home. Keep driving and stay on her tail. We'll block her in up ahead. Even if we don't hit her, she'll have nowhere to go. Once she steps out of that car, she's ours." The Janzen brothers had brought a whole crew with them. Catherine had only four bodyguards. Skilled or not, the numbers were against them. And the Janzen brothers weren't planning on taking chances. They were armed. Their plan was simple: eliminate everyone. Not a single bodyguard would make it out alive. They would kill them all, dismember the bodies, and dump them into the sea. By the time Pedro came looking for them, it would be too late. And as for the two hired brothers, they would take their payment, return to their hometown, gather their families, and vanish. With the millions Marco had given them, they could start fresh somewhere else. They wouldn't be rich, but if they lived carefully, they'd be comfortable. Meanwhile, after losing the truck, one of Catherine's bodyguards asked, "Miss, what's our next move?" Catherine remained calm. "Nothing. Just keep driving. If they can't stage an accident, they'll have to make a move themselves. If I'm right, they're already waiting for us up ahead. Stay sharp. Don't lose your lives over this," she warned. "Understood, miss." The bodyguards were concerned, but knowing Pedro was following with his men gave them some reassurance. With him around, Catherine's life wouldn't be in immediate danger. She had been right. About 10 minutes later, they spotted a massive truck parked across the road, completely blocking the way forward. Several black cars were lined up ahead of it. It didn't take much to figure out who was inside. Marco and his men. They were waiting. Catherine slowly closed her eyes. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4167. Chapter 4167. "Miss." The bodyguard turned to Catherine, waiting for her decision. Catherine opened her eyes, her expression calm. "Stop the car, but don't get out. Wait for them to make the first move. Only step out if you have no other choice. And remember, protect yourselves." "Miss. I'll be fine. Don't worry. I value my life. I still have a long road ahead, and my best days haven't even started yet. How could I bear to die now?" She gave a faint smile, but it didn't reach her eyes. There was sadness buried deep in them. She never imagined it would come to this, a fight for survival against her own brother. Her family ties had always been fragile. She had been swapped at birth, raised by strangers who never truly cared for her. She never ate well, never dressed well, never felt warmth. And when she finally returned to her biological family, she had hoped for love. But they had failed her too. Despite having so many relatives, she had always been alone. The only people who truly cared about her were Pedro and Liberty. The bodyguards knew Catherine had been preparing for this moment. They silently followed her orders. "As soon as the truck behind us catches up, we get out immediately," one of them said. They knew the danger; they couldn't risk being trapped between two trucks. If that happened, survival would be nearly impossible. Catherine didn't want anyone to die. She had already accepted that she would be the only one injured tonight. The truck up ahead remained still, its driver pretending to check for a mechanical issue. Catherine's car had come to a stop, but Marco and his men didn't move yet. They were waiting for their backup, the truck that had been tailing them. If they attacked too soon, Catherine might still be able to escape. Minutes later, headlights appeared in the distance. The truck was getting closer. Catherine was the first to step out. Her bodyguards and driver followed. Without hesitation, they sprinted across the emergency lane, jumped over the guardrail, and began moving forward. The truck behind them saw Catherine and her team exit the vehicle and immediately slammed on the brakes. But it was too late. The force of inertia sent the truck crashing into the bodyguard's car, which then lurched forward, slamming into Catherine's vehicle. The impact sent Catherine's car hurtling into the stationary truck ahead. A series of deafening crashes echoed through the night. Fortunately, Catherine and her team had gotten out in time. Otherwise, they would have been crushed inside. Marco and his men stepped out of their cars. Aside from their headlights, the road was pitch dark. There were no houses nearby, no businesses, no signs of life. It was the perfect place to attack. "Do it." Marco didn't waste time with threats. His men moved in instantly. Even though it was late, there was always a chance someone could drive by. They needed to move fast. Their goal was simple: capture Catherine. Once they had her, they would disappear. The road would clear, and no one would suspect a thing. The night was eerily silent. The only sounds were the occasional grunts and thuds of fists landing. Catherine's bodyguards fought hard, but there were only four of them. The two drivers had no combat skills and were knocked to the ground within seconds. Marco had brought a large crew, overwhelming them with sheer numbers. Catherine wasn't trained to fight, but she refused to go down easily. Fueled by sheer determination, she injured several of them before they finally overpowered her. Surrounded by multiple men, she had no chance. The moment they closed in, she was beaten to the ground. She had lost. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4168. Chapter 4168. Catherine felt a rough cloth shoved into her mouth before a sack was pulled over her head. Within seconds, she was forced into a car. She heard her eldest brother's voice, his whisper barely audible. "Let's go." Then, he added, "Tell Shiloh's brothers to follow us. Leave a few men here to clean up the scene. Hurry up." The engine roared to life. The car sped off. She couldn't see what was happening behind her. Cramped in the back seat, Catherine's hands and feet were still free. She struggled to pull the cloth from her mouth, but the sack remained tight over her head, held firmly by a pair of strong hands. A blow landed on her. Then another. "Brother Noel, tie the sack shut," Sage urged. Sage was the one hitting her. "Second brother, third brother, I know it's you." Catherine's voice was muffled as she fought to speak. "What do you want?" "Let me go, MMPH." Another punch. This time from Noel. Catherine curled into herself, wrapping her arms around her head, trying to shield herself from their attacks. She lost count of how many times she was hit. "Catherine, you should know better than to resist," Sage sneered coldly. "If you cooperate, you'll suffer less. But if you don't before you die, I'll make sure you regret every second of it." Catherine went still. Sage quickly tied the sack shut. "Second brother, what are you doing?" Catherine's voice remained steady despite the pain. "You realize this is illegal, right? This is kidnapping. The moment I call the police, you'll all go down. You'll be sentenced for years. She didn't fight back, but she still had her voice. Blood dripped from the corner of her mouth. She wiped it away. Just a flesh wound. Not fatal. But she looked like hell. And if Pedro saw her like this, she had no doubt he would kill these three himself. Sage raised his fist again, ready to hit her. Enough. Marco, who was driving, barked in a low voice. Noel, don't beat her to death. We still need her passwords. If Catherine died, her estate would legally transfer to them. But they needed access first: her bank accounts, the safe at home, the keys to her properties. She had hidden everything. They had to get the information from her before finishing the job. It's just a few punches. Can't she handle that? Noel scoffed. Didn't they say she's been fighting since she was a kid? Still, he sent another blow to her thigh. Curled up tightly, Catherine groaned in pain. Sage sneered. What's wrong, Catherine? You were always so tough. Go ahead, fight back. Show me how you plan to escape tonight. His voice turned venomous. Bitch. If it weren't for you, our family wouldn't have fallen apart. I swear, the DNA test results must have been tampered with. There's no way someone like you is really our sister. Shiloh is our sister. You're nothing but a bastard. A heavy silence filled the car. Then, Sage muttered, second brother, we did multiple tests. The results weren't wrong. For a moment, none of them spoke. Finally, he sighed. Stop calling her a bastard. We share the same parents. If she's a bastard, then what does that make us? No matter how much they wanted to deny it, the truth wouldn't change. Catherine was their biological sister. Whether they liked it or not. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4169. Chapter 4169. Shiloh, the girl they had raised as their sister, wasn't actually related to them by blood. She was the daughter of the former butler, a man whose ambition had driven him to place his own child at the head of the Farrell family. Sage fell silent. Catherine's voice broke through the tension. Third brother, let me out. You already have me. Do you really think I'll escape? Just let me out, it's too stuffy in here, and I can barely breathe. For a moment, Sage hesitated. Not out of brotherly love. If there was even a shred of that left, he would have tried to stop his brothers instead of going along with them. If life had been fair, she would have had five older brothers who cared for her. But life wasn't fair. Instead, she had five brothers who wanted her dead. Had she failed as a person, or were they just too heartless? Sage finally said, "Stay where you are, Catherine. We'll let you out when it's time." He couldn't risk letting her see where they were taking her. If she escaped, she would go straight to the police, and then they would all be finished. Failure wasn't an option tonight. If they failed, prison awaited them. Sage sighed. Catherine, you're our sister. If you behave, we won't make it too painful for you. The more you cooperate, the more mercy we'll show. It wasn't much of a promise. But in the end, it wouldn't matter. They were planning to throw her into the deep sea. There were plenty of big fish in those waters. She would be gone within minutes. It was the dead of night. No merchant ships would be passing through. It was the perfect time to dispose of a body. Sage, stop talking to her, Noel snapped. His voice was cold. Catherine, you brought this on yourself. You forced our hand. You were heartless first. You refused to listen to reason. You ignored the bonds of brotherhood. Our mother spent decades building up the Farrell family. Everything we have is because of her. And yet, you tell us to give it up. Fine, we accept that. But then you kept everything for yourself: our mother's private assets, our inheritance. You refused to share. If you had just divided things fairly, it wouldn't have come to this. Catherine was silent for a moment before finally speaking. So, you're really going to kill your own sister? Her voice was steady, but there was an undeniable weight behind it. I divided Mom's assets exactly as she instructed in her will. It wasn't my decision, it was hers. You act like I had a choice, but I didn't. None of us knew she had changed her will. Not you. Not me. And let's be honest, you all know how Mom got her position in the first place. You know the kind of power struggle she faced. Whether I step down or not, the Farrell family will never belong to us again. Sage let out a bitter laugh. Winners write history, Catherine. I don't care how Mom became head of the family, what matters is that she did. That was her strength. But I refuse to believe she willingly changed her will. You and Pedro must have forced her. Otherwise, why would she cut us out? Why would she be so ruthless to her own sons? How is it possible that with all that wealth, we were left with almost nothing? We were her children too. We grew up with her. She raised us. The Jansen brothers refused to believe their mother had willingly rewritten her will. No matter how many times the lawyer confirmed it, they couldn't accept it. They couldn't accept that their own mother had chosen Catherine over them. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4170. Chapter 4170. It wasn't that their mother didn't love her three sons. Catherine had made sure they received the best education, arranged prestigious jobs for them, bought them houses and cars, and even matched them with wives of equal status. She did everything a mother was supposed to do. There was no doubt their mother loved them. But when it came to dividing her estate, the three sons received far less than their children. Clarissa had left most of her wealth to her grandchildren. She believed they had their whole lives ahead of them and needed a stronger financial foundation. Her sons, on the other hand, spent lavishly on alcohol and women, made reckless business investments, and showered mistresses with money without a second thought. Even when faced with their infidelities, Clarissa had still chosen to stand by them. She coaxed and persuaded their wives not to leave, unwilling to see their marriages fall apart. But deep down, she resented her sons. They couldn't control their urges, just like their father. Holden had been kept in check for years, too afraid to act on his desires. But the moment he had the chance, he followed in his brother's footsteps. Clarissa had personally intervened to drive their mistresses out of Jensburg. She refused to let those women continue destroying her sons' marriages. But she was getting old. How much longer could she keep them in line? Her sons-in-laws didn't have nearly as much wealth as the Farrells. Once she was gone, there would be no one left to rein them in. Their marriages would eventually fall apart anyway. That was why she hadn't given them too much money. She knew they would squander it on mistresses, leaving nothing for their own children. Instead, she left a portion of her estate directly to her grandchildren, ensuring their future security. Clarissa had known that changing her will would cause trouble for Catherine. But she believed Catherine was strong enough to handle it. She trusted that her daughter wouldn't let her brothers push her around. Catherine didn't want to argue anymore. There was no point. For years, she and her brothers had fought over wealth and status. She had explained things to them over and over again until her voice had grown hoarse and her words had lost all meaning. But they had never listened. And if they had, they wouldn't have ended up here tonight. Marco, who had been watching the road, noticed something. Noel, call Shiloh's brothers. Ask if they're still following us, he ordered. There were no headlights in the rearview mirror. No vehicles tailing them. Noel nodded and dialed Shiloh's eldest brother. The man answered after a few rings. Second young master, we're not following you anymore. Tomorrow, we'll head to the eldest young master's house to collect the rest of our payment. Catherine's bodyguard and driver got away, and the car was wrecked at the scene. Noel's tone turned icy. Move the vehicle. We can't have it blocking traffic. Then head back. Come to my eldest brother's house at noon tomorrow for the rest of the money. We need to withdraw the cash from the bank first. Understood. As soon as the call ended, Noel turned to Marco. Brother, they know too much. I think we should just kill them. Dead men don't talk. Tonight, they had already crossed the line. They were about to kill their own sister. So why should Shiloh's brothers be spared? They were loose ends. Sage agreed. Big brother, Noel's right. Once they take the money, what's stopping them from coming back for more when they run out?